Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading is back in the New Testament. We'll be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and we will be reading verses 5 through 15. And we have a little wrinkle this morning. For the first time, we will be reading out of the King James Version. And let's see if we can get through this. This is Jesus speaking about prayer, what it is and how to approach it. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen and heard. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Thank you, Doug. Well, there's a man. Good idea. Let's have the children go to children's church now. Thank you for helping us to sing. Gerald R. McDermott has written a book that I want to share just a page or so with you this morning. He is a scholar of Jonathan Edwards, who was born in Connecticut in, I think, 1703, probably the most famous theologian from our state. He was a pastor in Massachusetts, in Northampton, and I've forgotten, Stockdale, I think, or Stockbridge, excuse me, and then became president of Princeton University, but only for a short while because he tried out a new inoculation, a vaccine for smallpox, and ended up with smallpox and died. And the sad thing, one of the sad things about that was that he began to write a book called A History of Redemption and did not finish it. And so Gerald R. McDermott, whom we've read some of his books, one of them Israel Matters, and he wrote a new History of Redemption to kind of complete Jonathan Edwards' work. And so he didn't just try to channel Jonathan Edwards, but rather understands him well enough after all these years of studying him, and then has, it's McDermott's History of Redemption, but done in the form of Jonathan Edwards. And it was just, this isn't usually the kind of book I dive right into, but this grabbed me right at the beginning. And so let me read for you the beginning of this redemption plan from eternity idea. God is happy. He is infinitely happy, and he has always been. The Father has always loved the Son with infinite love, and the Son has always rejoiced in that love. Wisdom says in Proverbs 8, I was beside the master craftsman, delighting him day after day, rejoicing before him at all times. And that was before the creation. Jesus prayed for us in John 17, saying, Father, I wish those you have given to me, that's us, would see my glory, which you gave me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. The Father has always been delighted by the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God's voice at Jesus' baptism. He loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing, says John. And the Son has always loved the Father with perfect love. He surrendered in love to the Father's plan before the foundation of the world, says Peter, and wanted the world to know that I love the Father. I do whatever he commands me, says Jesus to his disciples. The love between the Father and the Son is, and always has been, so perfect that it is a third divine person, the Holy Spirit. He is love itself, the divine person who is the energy of love between the Father and Son. God is love. I have made known to them your name, says Jesus, and will continue to make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me might be in them and I in them. Hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Scripture never says that either the Father or the Son loves the Spirit. This is the principal reason why the Western tradition has thought of the Spirit as the person who is the love between the Father and the Son. This perfect love in the Trinity, which is another way of speaking about the beauty of God in his inner life, has always been perfect and boundless. The divine society that the Christian tradition has called the Trinity has always been infinitely happy and full of joy. Amen? I just found that very uplifting. I think that's great. So last week, we talked about 10 words, or 10 commandments, that are the foundation of the whole law. And those 10 words are the foundation stone, Jesus says, on which we still stand. We will continue to stand until he comes. And so today we want to look at this prayer, and I'm calling this a prayer to pray until Jesus returns, because it is the outline for everything that our lives in him are about. Jesus spoke this prayer before he was crucified, buried, raised again, and taken up and enthroned in the heavenly places. But it was written down by Pastor Matthew in its final form a couple of decades after that. And so he knew the end of the story when he wrote that down for us. And it tells us about how we can enter the happiness of that society that is God Himself. That gives us entryway into happiness and joy. So let me track us through this passage that Doug has so skillfully read for us this morning and think about these things just one more time. Jesus says, when you pray, do not be like the actors, the hypocrites. That's what the Greek word for actor is, hypokrite. Someone pretending to be someone else. Don't be like them when you pray, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the churches, on the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. We all know what that is about. We've seen that, and we've probably done that. Truly, I tell you, if you do that, when they do that, they have their reward in full. So here I would tell you that it's okay to be famous, but it's also a dangerous thing. If your soul is consumed by getting likes, you know, like on social media, if you're getting people to love you and appreciate you, if that's what consumes your soul, God's message is, I hope you're enjoying this because that's all you're getting. In the end, that will not sustain you. They have their reward in full. And he's trying to drive us inward towards God so that we're being honest with ourselves. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So there is a place. I hope there's a place in your life. I know there's a place in your life where nobody else goes and nobody else knows about. And Jesus is saying that's the place to go to God. Make him be that place. Be happy enough, be satisfied that you have a good, good Father, as we sang about. Is that enough for you? Let that be enough, that inner relationship, that inner room you have. Don't make that into an act either, what I call being egotistically humble. Putting on a great show of humility. Oh, shucks, guys. Listen, I only pray in secret, but don't tell anyone. Your Father knows where that place is, and he knows when you're meeting him there in that place. Jesus goes on, and when you are praying, do not babble on and on. Do not babble on and on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. He's not saying you shouldn't be emotional in the moment. If God has you in a joyful place, be joyful. The scriptures tell us, the gospels tell us that Jesus at one point was just overcome with joy in the Holy Spirit at what God was doing, what he was seeing God do right then and there. It's okay to do that if that's where you are. But if you're putting on a show for God to impress him, or to impress other people, hope you enjoy it. That's your reward. Are we trying to get God's attention? You always, always, always have God's attention. The question is does he have your attention? Does he have my attention? And that is much in doubt most of the time. So a really good story that illustrates this praying contrast is the story of Elijah, the prophet in the time of the kings. He was in the northern kingdom of Israel, not in Judah. And Elijah slew the babbling priests of Baal. They were praying, they were dancing, they were sweating, they were cutting themselves to show Baal how sincere they were. And Elijah just couldn't resist. Maybe your God is in the latrine. You know? Just wait a few minutes. But now he has slain these priests because God told him to. There were over 400 of them. That's a lot of people to slay. And now King Ahab and Queen Jezebel are looking for Elijah to kill him. And he's running, literally running for his life. He runs south in Israel. He comes to the edge of the desert at Beersheba. And he lays down under a broom tree and he says, Lord, just take my life. I am ready to die. I've had enough. He's exhausted. He's out of everything. And so an angel came and woke him up and gave him some bread and a little stone jar of water. And he ate and he drank and then he fell back asleep again. And let me just pick up the story from there. 1 Kings 19 and starting at verse 8. So Elijah arose and ate and drank again. And in the strength of that meal, 40 days and 40 nights, he went to Horeb, or Sinai, the mountain of God. He just kept going south. And when he arrived there at the cave, he spent the night there. And behold, the word of Adonai, the Lord, came to him, and he said to Elijah, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah was coming to that place, that inner place where God was. He wanted to be close with God and meet God and see God. Elijah answered to God, I have been very zealous for Adonai Tzvaot, the Lord of the armies of heaven. I've been very zealous because the children of Israel, the northern kingdom, have forsaken your covenant. They have torn down your altars. They have killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they are trying to kill me. And then the Lord said to him, come out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord, Adonai, was passing by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and shattering cliffs before the Lord. But Adonai was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But Adonai was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Adonai was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a soft whisper of a voice. And as soon as Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. He came out onto the mountain to meet God, when he heard that voice. Then all of a sudden, a voice addressed him and said, so, Elijah, what are you doing here? That is completely inside of a relationship that's ongoing. God cares that Elijah is all wrung out. He's worn out and he's used up. He's exhausted. He's fatigued. And God is in that place with Elijah, in that inner room, as it were. He went all the way to Horeb to be there with him because it was worth being there in that inner place. And the Lord told him to go and choose his replacement. Well, God chose it for him. Go find Elisha and anoint him. he told Elijah, "You're retired." Ha! I get that. And so a band of angels with a chariot came for Elijah after he had anointed Elisha, and it took him straight to heaven. And the long and the short of that story in terms of this prayer is that the babbling pagans, the babbling priests of Baal, made a much better sounding prayer than Elijah did. But it had nothing to do with the Lord. The Lord knows his servants. He knows you. He knows me. And he knows that place where nobody else goes and nobody else knows. He knows where to meet you and how to meet you in that place. And so Jesus continues on, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Do you know what your children need before they ask you? Of course. You can see it, you know it. It means you're in relationship with them. It means he's in relationship with us. We're not getting his attention. We're letting him get our attention for a change. He knows where you are. So Jesus says, therefore, pray in this way: "Our Father in heaven." Again, that's a built-in relationship. That's a family relationship. We're family with the one we call Father. He is in the heavens. You see, we're on earth, so we're at a particular place right now, space and time, because this space won't have my feet on it an hour from now. But it's there right now. But God, he is in the heavens. He is everywhere, always, all the time. You see, that's the Father we have, and that's the one we need. "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, sanctified is your name." So, this family relationship of ours with God suddenly takes on a new element. He is bringing us into his holiness, something that we don't really have of ourselves. He's bringing us into the holiness. Now, here's the new part that Jesus is adding to this. The dust on this earth that we stand on right now is on the feet of Jesus. It's on God's feet. Our dust is on his feet, and his holiness is now coming upon us over our heads. That is fantastic. That's amazing that he does that with us and for us. Jesus has become something different after he is resurrected from the dead. He has become one of us. He is enthroned in the heavens, and he is also our king, because he is not just God, he is one of us. He is the Son of Man. The prayer continues to our Heavenly Father: "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, make this earth like heaven." Home Depot gets that. How much have you spent this year already to make your place look a little more like the Garden of Eden? That was heaven on earth. We do that. We're driven. That's just right in our nature. We want that. We want to do that. That's why, this earth, this heaven coming to earth, which is represented in this Lord's Supper that we're going to share in a bit, that is the kingdom of heaven in its present form, the now but not yet form. That's why the gospel, that's why Jesus came as our king and suffered and died and was buried and raised again and enthroned in the heavenly places and put his spirit, his Holy Spirit, into his people until that coming day when earth is like heaven, when heaven comes down to earth. And so we are doing his will. Your will be done. Guess who's doing that? That's us. When we live by those 10 words we were talking about, when we live in this prayer that Jesus gave us, we are the kingdom of heaven on earth until that day. We are doing his will. And we are gathering in a harvest every generation. The Lord is speaking through his people. People are coming to know Jesus every generation. They're deciding each generation that comes up and goes down, is born, is lives and dies. And the one question is what will you do about Jesus? And so Jesus will come and he will bring all that harvest together in one day. And if you want to be part of that, you reach out in faith to the Lord. Say, Lord, I am yours now and forevermore. And a sign of that allegiance that you bear with him, that faith you're keeping with him, is in the baptisms we will be doing next week. And if you want to show everyone else a sign that you're obedient to the Lord, he said, be baptized. So if you want to be baptized next week, see me, call me, get a hold of Pastor Dave, and we will arrange for you to do that, or get a hold of Monica, and she will set it up with us. We are happy to do that. So we're doing his will on this earth. We are bringing about his will through our lives on this earth. Then we ask this of the Lord, because we are here on this earth, we are here now, because the stuff in our refrigerator is going bad as we speak. They didn't have refrigerators, and so the next meal wasn't always real obvious to them where it was coming from. Give us this day our daily bread. That's asking for what we need. What we need. Lord, let me be satisfied with my portion. We live so far into our wants that we can't tell the difference between wants and needs anymore. I've said this many times. It's still true, and it's still our biggest stumbling block in this life and in this world, in this rich Western world. Ask for your needs and be thankful when the Lord meets your needs, even when it doesn't include things you want. Can you be happy when God meets your needs, gives you what you actually need? And then when he gives you more than you need, instead of just saying, yeah, this is great, will you help others with their portion? Will you make sure they have their portion? Sometimes he gives us our daily bread with hands, other hands that look like ours. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses, as we also have forgiven our debtors, or those who have trespassed against us. It's the only request we're making of God that has a catch to it. Forgive me, Lord, as I forgive. Now, here's the thing about forgiveness. We get all wrapped up in forgiveness, and if somebody makes a remark that bounces off us the wrong way, we get all kind of upset. When somebody actually commits a sin against us and we need to forgive them, the onus is on us. That's the problem with being sinned against, is that not only were you sinned against, you're the one who's responsible to go and confront someone about that or make it right, figure it out. Forgiving does not preclude justice. Over my 3 decades pastoring now, I have had wives come to me and tell me that their husbands are physically hitting them. And my first question is always, have you called the police? Have you filed charges? So that everybody else in the whole world can know, he'll know that everybody knows that he has committed a crime. That's not being unforgiving. Sometimes that's what people need, is to know that what they do has a consequence and there is justice in this world. Forgiveness does not preclude justice. Sometimes it includes it. Forgiveness does not mean that we have to trust someone that's not trustworthy. Jesus himself, his relationship with King Herod. Herod had murdered Jesus' cousin, John the Baptizer. It was very upsetting to Jesus, and you can see that in the Gospels, and it changed the course and direction of his ministry. It sped things up. The Pharisees came to Jesus once and said, "Be careful, because Herod is looking for you." Jesus was in the school of Pharisees, so he had lots of friends in there. And he said, "Tell that fox, Herod, that I am doing the will of God while I am here. I'm healing people. I am speaking the truth." And then, as Jesus is being tried for his life, he is taken to Herod. And do you know what Jesus said to Herod? Not a single word. He didn't answer him anything. He was following his own advice. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Jesus had forgiven him, but he didn't trust him, and rightly so. And so all these elements of forgiveness in one another, they come under the rubric of, we talked about last week, love your neighbor. Doesn't mean you have to like someone. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them. But loving them means, first and foremost, I'm not going to seek revenge against them. I'm not going to do evil things to them. They can be my neighbor. That's the beginning of love. And that is the beginning of our preparation in sharing this Lord's Supper. We come before him and we say, "Lord, we love you. We want to meet you in that place where the Holy Spirit is, where the Spirit of Jesus is." And he says to us, "You say you want to be in this place, but your actions towards others belie that. They're not supporting that." And so, forgive us our debts in the way that we have forgiven others. And finally, he says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And that's just a reminder that we're still on the earth, and it's still right now, and we are in a battle. We will be in a battle the rest of our days. We're in a spiritual battle. The war is won. It was won by Jesus 2,000 years ago when he was raised from the dead, conquering our enemy, death. But the battle is still on for each generation that comes up. And we're battling on the behalf of others. Let me be a testimony to those around me, Lord. Let me not give in to temptation that will cause your name to come into disrepute. The battle is still on for our generation. Well, I'd like to have us come to the table just now and share in this Lord's Supper. And it has been a blessing and a privilege to share this many times with you. This week, next month, our beloved elder, Jeff Berridge, will be sharing this table with you. And 2 months hence, on the first Sunday of the month, your new pastor will be installed and will share this table with you. And so the Lord is moving us forward to where he is taking us next. And what a blessing that is. Jesus invites us to his table. We have four stations around the room, as is our custom, with the Lord's Supper. And so in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to come down the diagonal aisles, and then you'll return coming back down the straight ones to your seats so we can avoid traffic congestion. The scripture says this, The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. And the prophet Isaiah says that with joy we draw water from the wells of salvation. And we come to this place for those very things. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. What a blessing that is. And so we get to participate a bit in this. If you would take a hymnal and turn to 874, we will make an affirmation of our faith together. 874. As soon as you have that, go ahead and stand. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. And now is Monica plays for us. Please come forward and take the elements and take them back to your seats, and we will all take them together. Thank you. sharing in the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Let's take it together. When we give thanks for the cup, is it not sharing in the blood of Christ? The blood of Christ, which is the cup of salvation, let's take it together. Christ, our Passover lamb, is offered for us. Let us therefore keep the feast. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you remain. You are out far ahead of us. You are way behind us. You are right with us. And as we go through our lives and we go through our changes from the second we are conceived until the moment we pass back to you, you are with us. You remain. And it's because of what Jesus has done that all this is possible. His salvation, his forgiveness, his life. New life for us. And we are forever grateful. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we come to you because our feet still stand in the dust of the earth and in time. We have needs, and you know those needs, and we are so grateful that you know them. And we lift them up to you to remind ourselves that you care about these things. We lift up to you the needs of these physical bodies that we have. Lord, we pray for those in our midst, in our congregation, who are ill and recovering, some ill and not going to recover. We pray for all. Hear us now as we lift up those in our lives who are in need of physical healing and help and encouragement with their bodies. Lord, hear us as we pray in the silence of our hearts. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for knowing ahead of time already what they are and what they should be. We pray now for those who are sharing the gospel in far fields, who have given their lives over to doing exactly that. We thank you for them. What examples they are to all of us who are gifted differently. We want to pray right now, Lord, for our own influence in this world. We ask that you would make your will done and known in this world through us as we live out Jesus' lives in our time, in our generation, from our birth to our death. Bless us as we do that. We want to stop right now, Lord, and to remind ourselves by lifting up their names before you, those who are close to us in this life, those whom we are trying to love but may not like very much or agree with. We ask that you would make yourself known to them through us, those handful of people that we know. Hear us, Lord, as we lift up their names in the silence of our hearts just now. Lord, teach us to love our neighbor, and in so doing, realize just how much we really love you. Thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Hear us now as we pray one more time that prayer that you taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Would you stand now as we sing a song in closing? He has not treated us according to our sins or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Amen.